بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the first matter which invalidates a person's Islam. So in the last lesson, what was the invalidator which the author mentions? Shirk, ash-shirku billah. And what is the definition of shirk? Who remembers the definition of shirk in Arabic? Dawud wa Talha. Ma'ahu. Da'watu ghayrillahi ma'ahu. To call somebody besides Allah along with Allah. And also we said, taswiyatu ghayrillahi billahi fi shay'in min khasa'isihi wa huquqihi. To make somebody equal to Allah in something which is exclusive to him or in one of his rights. So in something which is exclusive to him, like what? Like his rububiyyah and some of his names and attributes. And his right, i.e. the right of worship. Also we said that there are two types of a shirk. What are the two types of shirk? Shirkun akbar and shirkun asghar. Good. The major shirk and the minor shirk. Ifran, what's the difference between major shirk and minor shirk?
Major shirk, it takes you out of the fold of Islam. Minor good. Shirk, you are still in the fold of Islam.
No, but it's shirk. So minor shirk is anything which Allah has, or anything which the Sharia has termed to be shirk, but it takes a person out of the fold of Islam, that's major shirk. Minor shirk, anything which the Sharia calls shirk, but it does not take a person out of al-Islam. Give me an example of a shirk al-Akbar. Give me an example of a shirk al-Akbar. Alaykum as-salam. Naam. Give me an example of a shirk al-Akbar. Qasim. An example of major shirk.
Washing someone other than Allah.
Good. Like making dua to other than Allah, slaughtering an animal to other than Allah, and something like this. Who can give me an example of a shirk al-asghar? That's shirk al-khafi. We'll come to that.
Someone prolonging his
prostration. No, that's shirk khafi. That's hidden shirk. So minor shirk is like, for example, saying, ma sha Allah wa shit. What Allah wills and what you will. Or the shirk in wording. Then there is a shirk al-khafi. And this is the hidden shirk, like a small amount of riya. Then the final thing we discussed is, does Allah forgive minor shirk? We know that Allah doesn't forgive major shirk. But does, if a person died upon minor shirk, does Allah forgive this action? No. We said, the Sheikh Fawzan said that the ulama, they differed. And the correct opinion is that Allah does not forgive minor shirk, except the difference is that the person who does major shirk remains in the fire forever, na'udhu billah, and the one who does minor shirk, then he's punished, but he will be removed from the fire if he died upon at-tawheed. In this lesson, we come to the second matter which invalidates a person's Islam. And the author, rahimullah, he said, مَنْ جَعَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَسَائِطٌ يَدْعُوهُمْ وَيَسْأَلُهُمَ الشَّفَاعَةَ وَيَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِمْ كَفَرَ إِجْمَاعًا. That whoever places between him and between Allah wasa'it, something in the middle, a person in the middle, and he calls out to that person and he asks shafa'ah or intercession from that person and places his tawakkul upon that person, kafara ijma'an. Then this is kufr, major kufr, which takes the person out of al-Islam. So as I mentioned, placing an intermediary between you and between Allah, this is shirk. And then directing ibadah to them, this is a shirk. So the author here, he mentioned wasa'it. And wasa'it comes from the word wasat, and wasat is the middle. So if somebody places between himself and between Allah something in the middle, a person in the middle, and then he goes through this person to reach to Allah, like making dua to this person, slaughtering in the name of this person, seeking help and refuge from this person to go to Allah, then this is kufr and ash-shirk. And the author, he said, wasa'it, and sometimes the word wasila is mentioned, and sometimes the word shafa'a is mentioned. And it means the same thing. Something which is in the middle. The prophets and the messengers, their main primary objective was to remove the middlemen between creation and between their Lord. This was the whole objective behind the sending of the prophets and messengers. Because over time, the different followers of different religions, they had placed people or angels, jinns, awliya, prophets between them and between Allah. So they would worship that person, hoping that that worship reaches Allah. So the prophets and the messengers were only sent to remove this barrier. So there's no barrier between a person and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to al-ibadah. Now this word, wasita, somebody in the middle, it can have a correct meaning and it can have a false meaning. So if the meaning of wasa'it is somebody in the middle who delivers the revelation to us and clarifies the rulings of the Sharia to us, then this is correct. So the prophets and the messengers, they are wasa'it. They are in the middle between us and Allah. However, what do we mean here by wasa'it? Meaning they tell us about Allah and they convey the message, the divine message to us. They convey the revelation to us. There is no way of knowing the revelation without the prophets and the messengers. Then yes, they are wasa'it. So they are in the middle. And Allah said it in the Quran, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته. He is the one who sent a messenger to the unlettered nation, i.e. the Quraysh, from amongst themselves. What does he do? He recites the ayat to them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, and he teaches them the book. وَالْحِكْمَ, and he teaches them wisdom. So the prophets and the messengers, they are the wasa'it. They are between us and they are between Allah. And to a lesser degree, the scholars as well, the ulama. The ulama are between us and between Allah in the sense that they teach us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they convey the revelation to us and they teach us the ahkam of the sharia. So this meaning of wasa'it, it is correct. Somebody in the middle who brings the revelation from Allah to us. However, if the meaning of the wasa'it, somebody being in the middle, is somebody who you should make dua to in order to reach Allah, or you place your dependence upon them in order to reach Allah, then this is the wasila, or this is the wasa'it, which is shirk and kufr. So if somebody believes that between you and between Allah is another person who guides your heart, the guidance of tawfiq, this is shirk and kufr. Or if a person believes that there's a person between you and Allah, like a prophet or a wali or a great righteous person who tends to your needs and answers your calls and helps you when you're in problems, then this is kufr and a shirk. So we have to differentiate between the meaning of wasa'it. If the meaning of wasa'it is somebody who conveys the revelation to us, yes, the prophets and the messengers. If the meaning of wasa'it and wasila is somebody that you direct your ibadah to and you make dua to and you place your tawakkul upon, then this is kufr and a shirk. Now, the people of shirk who do this wasa'it and this wasila, going through other people to reach to Allah, they don't call it shirk. They call it tawassut or wasa'il or tawassul or shafa'ah. They give it different names. And this is from the angle of naming something different to its actual name in order to lessen that sin. So if these people now go to the people and say, look, this is shirk, what we're doing is shirk, nobody's going to accept this. But if they change the name and instead of calling it shirk, they call it tawassul or they call it shafa'a, but the action is the same, then they can deceive the people. And the sin is, the effect of the sin is lessened upon the people. And there's many examples of this, of people doing it nowadays. So for example, al-riba, which is interest and usury, they call it fawa'id. And fawa'id means benefits. So instead of saying riba, which is what Allah mentioned in the Quran, they say al-fawaid al-bankiya, I benefits from the bank. Because when you say riba, every single person knows that riba is haram. But when you say fawaid, some financial benefits or rewards or from the bank, then it lessens the sin upon the people. Also, for example, some of them, instead of saying al-khamr, which is clear in the Quran, it's haram, they say al-ashriba al-ruhaniya, na'am, which are drinks, which, you know, they might change stimulants or they change the state of mind that you are in. The point is, because they don't call it alcohol, even though it's the same liquid, then they can deceive the people. Also, another example is in the English language. In fact, it's a lot in the English language. So a zina, which is adultery, every person, even the average non-Muslim out there, knows adultery is something which is considered repulsive in all of the legislations. So instead of calling it adultery, they say affair. Somebody's having an affair. What's an affair? Affair is something, it's a matter. But affair doesn't have the serious connotations that the word adultery has. So just because a different name is given to something, it doesn't mean that the reality changes. This action, it is shirk, but the people call it tawassut or at-tawassul or wasila or shafa'a, just to make it easier upon the people for them to accept. However, it is a shirk. And this shirk of placing somebody between you and between Allah, this is the shirk of the Quraysh, like we studied previously. So anybody who makes any dua to a dead person or any type of ibadah, whether it is dua, whether it is absolute love, absolute fear, a tawakkul, reliance and dependence, isti'ana, istighatha, all of those types of ibadat which we studied. If anybody directs any of this to a deceased person or an absent person, then it is shirkun akbar, kufrun akbar, and the person leaves the fold of al-Islam. And this is the shirk of the people of Quraysh. So the mushrikun of Quraysh, they never ever believed that the idols actually helped them. They never used to believe this. They used to worship the idols, but they used to believe that Allah is the real helper. They used to worship the idols, but they knew that Allah is the actual creator. They used to worship the idols, and they knew that Allah controls life and death and seeing and hearing, and He controls the universe. They used to believe in this. Like we studied previously in Al-Qa'id Al-Arba, we mentioned many, many evidences. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولَنَّ اللَّهِ If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say, surely it is Allah. Meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you question the people who are worshipping the idols, who created the heavens and the earth? Did these idols create the heavens and the earth? They will say, no, it is Allah who created the heavens and the earth. So they used to believe this. Why did they used to worship these idols? They used to think that these idols are an avenue or a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of wasila. Because the wasila, the meaning of wasila is a means to something or an avenue to something. Why do we send our children at a young age to the madrasa? Because this is a wasila to them memorizing the Quran. I.e., this is the path or a bridge for them to memorize the Quran. So this is the meaning of wasila or tawassul. And also shafa'a, which means intercession. So the Quraysh, the mushrikun of Quraysh, they never worship the idols, believing that the idols help. They should always believe that we are going to worship the idols because these idols are a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in a number of ayat in the Quran. Like the saying of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى Allah says in the Quran that those people who took protectors and supporters, awliya, besides Allah, they say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ We don't worship them. We're not actually worshipping these idols. إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى Except that they take us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to pay attention to this, because this is a doubt that the people of shirk, they bring. They will say, don't compare our actions to the actions of the Quraysh. Because we believe Allah is the true creator and the helper, whereas the Quraysh used to believe that the idols are the ones who help. No. Allah mentions in the Quran that those people who used to worship besides Allah, they used to say, we don't worship them except لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى, except that they take us closer to Allah. And in the next part of this ayah, Allah calls this action kufr. Then Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِيمَا هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ, that Allah will judge between them in that which they differ. And then he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ, that Allah will never guide, or Allah does not guide the one who is كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ. So Allah called this person kafar, ay kafir. Somebody who directs any act of ibadah to other than Allah, terming it wasila or tawassul or shafa'a or wasa'it, whatever name you want to give it, thinking that this dead person, this wali, this prophet takes my ibadah to Allah, he's a path to Allah. Allah called this action or this person kafar. Kadhibun kafar, ay somebody who rejects and he disbelieves. Also, Allah said in the Quran, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ, they worship besides Allah that which does not harm them, no benefit them. وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and they say that these deities that we are worshipping, they are our shufa'a with Allah. They are our intercession with Allah. They are our path to Allah. So this is the actual shirk. And then Allah also said at the end of this ayah, he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. That may Allah be glorified and more elevated above that which they are yushrikun, the shirk which they are committing. So notice, Allah called this action of worshipping others besides Allah with the excuse that this worship is taken to Allah, he called it kufrun and kadhibun and shirkun. And as I mentioned, this is the shirk of The Mushrikun of Quraysh, they never worshipped others besides Allah, knowing that this is the God. They used to always believe Allah is the creator, Allah is the provider, and these deities are our avenue, our wasila towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that this action, this is the shirk of the Mushrikun of early times. And if this isn't shirk, then there's no other shirk. If this is not shirk, then there's no other shirk. This is the shirk of that time and this is the shirk of today. So if you go to a person and you see him going to the graves, going to the awliya, why are you doing this? He'll say, I'm not worshipping the person in the grave. I know it's Allah who actually helps, but this person is my wasila to Allah. This person is my path or avenue or intercession to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also there's a third type of wasila. And the third type of wasila or tawassut is when a person places something between him and between Allah, but he thinks that this thing in the middle, Allah has allowed for this to happen, but he doesn't direct any worship to this person. So for example, a person asks Allah, so his dua is to Allah, and he says, oh Allah, I ask you through the wasila of the Prophet, or through the status of a righteous person, or due to the right of a great wali. This type of wasila or tawassul, it isn't shirk, however it is bid'ah. Because the prophets and the companions, they never did this type of action. So the understanding of the word wasa'it is a number of understandings. The first meaning of wasa'it is somebody in the middle who brings the revelation to us, who clarifies the religion to us, and this is the Anbiya and the Rusul, and to a lesser degree the scholars. This is correct. The other meaning of tawassut or wasa'it or tawassul is somebody who we direct our worship to because they take our worship to Allah. This is kufr and shirk, and this is the kufr of the mushrikun of the early times. And then the third type is where a person worships Allah, but he asks Allah by the right of somebody else. This is not shirk. Why? Because he's worshipping Allah. He's making his dua to Allah. But this action of his is a bid'ah because it isn't known that the prophets and the companions, they used to do this. And the author, rahimullah, he said that the second invalidator is من جعل بينه وبين الله وسائط. A person places between him and between Allah somebody or something in the middle, يدعوهم, makes dua to this person. So he makes dua to this middle person. Now this middle person, as I mentioned, could be an angel, could be a jinn, could be a prophet, could be a grave, could be a wali or a salih, a righteous person. If any act of worship is made to this person, even with the understanding that this takes it to Allah, then this is shirk and kufr. وَيَسْأَلُهُمْ الشَّفَاعَةَ And he asks him for a shafa'a. And we studied in the previous lessons the meaning of a shafa'a and the different types of a shafa'a. So a shafa'a, it is for somebody to act on behalf of somebody else in trying to bring some good or repel some evil. So for example, in this dunya, you might say to somebody of a higher status that, can you go speak to Fulan on my behalf? Because maybe you've got some problem that needs sorting out, you've got a need that needs tending to. So you say to a second person, can you go speak to that person on my behalf? So this person, he's not now your shafa'a. He's acting on your behalf in order to bring you some good or repel some evil for you. This is the meaning of a shafa'a. And also in the sharia, there are two types of shafa'a, that which is correct and legislated and that which is not legislated. There are two types of shafa'a. Al-shafa'atul manfiyyah wa shafa'atul muthbita. The shafa'a which is negated in the Qur'an and the shafa'a which is affirmed in the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the shafa'a which is accepted and legislated is when a person asks Allah, so he addresses Allah to allow somebody else to be his shafa'a. So for example, a person says, oh Allah, I ask you for the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is correct. So if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, let's say the Prophet or even your children, let's say you try hard and you educate your children and you teach them the Quran. You say, oh Allah, allow my children to be my shafa'a on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Meaning, oh Allah, on the day of resurrection, allow my sins to be forgiven because you are pleased with my children. So your children are shafa'a for you. But who did you ask? You asked Allah. You did not go to the child and say, oh Fulan, please be my shafa'a. This then becomes a shirk. So as long as a person is asking Allah and requesting from Allah that he allows somebody else to be his shafa'a, then this is correct. And this will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah in many instances. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has the exclusive right of the shafa'atul uzma, the great shafa'a, the great intercession. And that is when he will request from Allah for the doors of Jannah to be open so the people can enter into Jannah. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam request for the doors of Jannah to be open? For our benefit. So he made shafa'a, he acted on our behalf in front of Allah for our sins to be forgiven or for us to enter into Jannah, for the doors of Jannah to be open. So a person can make this dua, a person can say, oh Allah, allow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be my shafa'a on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is correct. Also, we know that the righteous people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will intercede for the others. So somebody who is deserving to go into the fire, Allah will keep him away from the fire because of the shafa'a of a righteous person. Or somebody who is in the fire already, from the people of Tawheed, from the people of Islam, Allah will remove him from the fire because of the shafa'a of some righteous people. Or somebody who is in a deeper level of the fire, na'udhu billah, due to the shafa'a of some of the righteous, they will either be removed from the fire or their punishment will be lessened. So all these types of a shafa'a is correct. But you have to ask Allah for the shafa'a of these people. And in a number of hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned his shafa'a. Firstly, the shafa'a on Yawm al-Qiyamah is only for the people of Tawheed. So the people of shirk, there's no shafa'a for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shafa'ati li ahl al-kabairi min ummati Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, my shafa'a, my intercession, will be for those people who commit major sins from my ummah. Who is the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The ummah of Tawheed, the ummah of Islam. So a person cannot be upon shirk and be upon the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet was only sent to warn people against a shirk. And anybody who commits shirk has left the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like we mentioned in the previous lesson. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will ask Allah to forgive the sins of the people of Tawheed who committed major sins. So you have a person of Tawheed, and let's say, may Allah protect him, he used to drink alcohol, but he was a person of Tawheed, and he didn't make Tawbah before he died. So he's deserving to be punished because he didn't make Tawbah. But because of the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the shafa'ah of righteous children, or the shafa'ah of the righteous people, or the shafa'ah of the ulama, this person's sins may be forgiven, because he was a person of At-Tawheed. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, man as'ad al-nas bi shafa'atika yawm al-qiyamah. O Messenger of Allah, who is the one who is most deserving of your shafa'ah on yawm al-qiyamah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. Whoever said la ilaha illallah in sincerity from his heart. And who are the people of la ilaha illallah who have a sincere heart? They are the people of at-tawheed. So the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even that is only for the people of tawheed. This is the shafa'ah which is accepted and legislated in al-Islam. Firstly, you address Allah, and you don't address the dead person. And you ask Allah for the shafa'ah of this person, you don't ask this person for his shafa'ah. And why does Allah accept his shafa'ah? To honor this person. And why does Allah accept his intercession on your behalf? Because Allah is pleased with you because of your tawheed. And this is also, like I said, in this world. So this person, he might go directly to another person, ask him, and that person doesn't accept. For whatever reason, he doesn't accept. But perhaps if you sent, let's say, the imam of the masjid, because that person wants to honor the imam of the masjid, he might accept his plea or his bargaining on behalf of the third person. And this shows us and indicates that this person, the imam, he's an honored person, a respected person in front of that other person. And this is why his shafa'ah has been accepted. Also like this on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will accept the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also to show a level of pleasure and happiness at the one who is being interceded for, because he died as a person of at-tawheed. This is the shafa'ah which we affirm. The other shafa'ah is the one which is negated. And this is when a person requests shafa'ah from other than Allah in something which only Allah can help with. So in this dunya, we are allowed to ask each other to intercede on each other's behalf. But when it comes to the matters of the akhirah, nobody is able to do this without the permission of Allah. So you're only allowed to ask Allah, and you're not allowed to ask the person in the grave. And Allah said in the Quran that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, those people, He said that they will not have min dunihi waliyyun wala nasir. That they will not have besides Allah any helper, no min dunihi waliyyun wala shafi'. They will not have besides Allah any wali, any helper, no any shafi'. Nobody will do shafa'ah for them. So there are some types of shafa'ah which Allah negates, like this ayah. And there are some types of shafa'ah which Allah affirms, like the previous ayat and the examples we mentioned. Also, the author mentioned at-tawakkul. The author said that from those things which invalidates a person's Islam is when you place somebody between you and between Allah in the middle. You make dua to that person. You request shafa'ah from that person. And you place your tawakkul upon that person. And what is the meaning of at-tawakkul? At-tawakkul, in the Arabic language, it means to rely upon somebody else to bring a benefit for you or to protect you from a harm. This is the meaning in the Arabic language. To depend upon somebody else, to rely upon somebody else. So for example, in the linguistic meaning, if I need something doing and I can't do it myself, I phone one of my friends and I say, can you please do this for me? I'm depending upon you. I'm relying upon you to do this thing for me. This is called tawakkul linguistically. What's the meaning of tawakkul when it comes to the sharia? When we talk about ibadah, what is the meaning of at-tawakkul? It is sidqul i'timadi ala Allah. It is to have a true reliance upon Allah, ma'a thiqati bihi, with having trust in him, ma'a al-akhdhi bil asbab, as well as partaking and fulfilling the universal means. So for example, a person wants to have children. Firstly, he relies upon Allah. He makes dua to Allah, bless me with children. Naam, he makes dua to Allah. Secondly, there are means which Allah has placed upon this earth to have children. So for example, you need to get married. If a person said, I'm only going to ask Allah to give me the children because He's the one who can do everything, but I'm not going to fulfill the universal means like getting married, this is stupidity. So you have to rely upon Allah, you have to depend upon Allah, you have to have hope in Allah, you have to have a good thought about Allah, you have to have trust in Allah. At the same time, you have to fulfill the means which Allah has placed upon this earth. A person wants to have a comfortable lifestyle. Is it sufficient for him to sit at home and say, Allah is Ar-Razzaq, Allah is the one who provides, and Allah is Al-Ghani, He is the one who is rich, and He gives, and He gives, and He answers our du'as. So I'm going to sit at home, I'm going to make du'a, I'm going to pray nawafil that Allah makes me rich, but I'm not going to go out and work. I'm not going to educate myself. This is not a tawakkul. A tawakkul means you go, you work, you educate yourself, you have a career, you work in halal, and at the same time you make dua to Allah, you rely upon Allah, you depend upon Allah. This is the true meaning of a tawakkul. So a tawakkul, it is a type of ibadah, and it is what I have mentioned. Sidqul i'timadi ala Allah, having a true dependence upon Allah. Ma'a thiqati bihi, as well as having trust in Him. Ma'al akhdhi bil asbab, as well as fulfilling the universal means which Allah has placed upon this earth. Then there is a type of tawakkul which is shirk. Ay shirkun akbar or kufrun akbar, major type of shirk. And that is to place your dependence upon a dead person. To place your reliance upon a person who is absent. Or to place your dependence upon a living person in something which they are not able to do, something which only Allah can do. All of this is shirk and kufr. So if a person places a reliance upon a living person, a righteous person, that he brings children to him, or rain comes tomorrow, or brings him good luck, or brings him blessings, this is shirk and kufr. So whenever tawakkul is placed upon a dead person, or an absent person, or a living person, is something which only Allah can do, then this is shirk and kufr. Then there is a third type of tawakkul. And that is when a person relies upon Allah, makes dua to Allah, but he does not fulfill the universal means. And this is stupidity. Any person who says, I'm going to sit at home, I'm going to make dua to Allah, because Allah is Ar-Razzaq, and I'm going to pray 1,000 nawafil, but I'm not going to go out to work, I'm not going to go out then bring my livelihood. This isn't tawakkul. This is safahatun. This is stupidity and foolishness. So this is not a tawakkul. And this is the tawakkul of some of the Sufiya, which is found in some of their books, wherein they think that if you totally disregard the dunya and place all of your efforts in just worshipping Allah, that things will happen upon this world. Allah did not create the world like this. Allah created this world that there are means which you have to fulfill, and at the same time you rely and you depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is another type of tawakkul, and this is minor shirk. So it isn't major shirk. And this tawakkul is when you rely upon somebody else and your heart is attached to that person. So you know that it is Allah who is the one who gives. It is Allah the one who provides. But there are means upon this earth. So for example, as an example, a person is finding a job. He doesn't have an income. So he goes to the government or for the benefits or to the job seekers or wherever. Now this is permitted in the Sharia from the angle of at-tawakkul. But if his heart feels in need of this person, then this is a level of a shirk. Why? Because his heart feels dependent or in need of that person. So even if you're relying upon somebody else to fulfill one of your needs, your heart has to still be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never allow your heart to be attached to this person. You have to understand that it is Allah who gives, it is Allah who provides, and this person is merely a means whom Allah has placed upon the earth. He is a sabab. And maybe if I partake this means, Allah will provide. Maybe He will not provide. But this person is only means upon the earth. My heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which is important. Even when, especially when you grow up and you're going to work, you're going to rely on other people for a wage. So when you're working for a company, your wage is coming from that company. You never allow your heart to be dependent upon them. As a Muslim, you have to always be independent of creation. And if you remember the famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. He said, oh young boy, so Ibn Abbas, he was young at that time. He said, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I am going to teach you some words, important words, important advice. He said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, only ask Allah. So even if you're working somewhere and your wage is coming from that person and you request a wage from that person, but in your heart, you're attached to Allah. If you ask, only ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek help, only seek the help of Allah. Meaning, even if you seek help from one of your brothers, one of your friends, your heart has to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to know that even though my brother is going to help me, but the one who is actually helping is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The help of this person is just a means which Allah has placed upon this earth, that we should work with each other and help each other. He said, تعرف إلله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Know Allah in times of ease, and Allah will know you in times of difficult. Meaning worship Allah in times of ease, and then Allah will come to you in times of difficulty. At the beginning of the hadith, he said, احفظ الله يحفظك. Protect Allah, Allah will protect you. Meaning protect the commandments of Allah, protect the sharia of Allah, and Allah will always be in your protection. He will always protect you. Then the Prophet ﷺ taught him, he said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. You should know that if all of the ummah was to come together in order to benefit you with something, they cannot benefit you except with that which Allah has already written and decreed. So again, if you're working for somebody and you request that wage from that person, your heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah prevents this person from giving the wage, he can never ever give the wage. And if this person tries to prevent your wage and Allah has written for your wage to be written, that wage will come to you. So even if you have a level of need in front of the people, but you never allow your heart to be attached to those people. Your heart has to always be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we have to be careful. Because many people today, they may be falling into a level of minor shirk. Because they're showing their need in front of others. Or their heart is attached in front of others, even though they believe that Allah is the one who provides. So even if you seek help from others in that which is permitted, but your heart is attached to Allah, you are never dependent in front of creation. You're always independent from the creation and dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last type of tawakkul is when you ask somebody to act on your behalf. Like I said, can you go to the shop for me? This is a form of tawakkul. But your heart isn't attached to that person. Your heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point behind this invalidator is that anybody who places anything between him and between Allah and then directs ibadah to this middle person, hoping that this dua will be taken to Allah, or this slaughter will be taken to Allah, or this seeking of help will be taken to Allah, and this person's a path or a wasila or an avenue, then this is shirk and kufr, and it invalidates a person's Islam. Now, there are certain doubts which the people who are doing this will bring to you. So if you say to the people that this is not wasila, this is shirk and kufr, they'll bring you certain doubts. And Sheikh Sal Fawzan, he mentions these doubts in his explanation of Nawaqid al-Islam. He says that the first doubt is certain ayat in the Qur'an which the people will recite. So for example, Allah said in the Qur'an, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَبَتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Allah said in the Qur'an, O people of Iman, have taqwa of Allah and seek a wasila to Allah. So the people of shirk will say, look, here Allah is telling us that wasila and tawassul is permitted. Also in the other ayah, Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ, that those people, that these people are worshipping and invoking, يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ, they themselves, they are seeking a wasila to Allah. أيهم أقرب, that who is closest to Allah. وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ, and they hope in the mercy of Allah and they fear the punishment of Allah. So in this ayah, Allah said that the people of shirk, those people that they are invoking, like the prophets and the messengers and the angels and the righteous people, these righteous people, they themselves are seeking a wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they hope in His mercy and they fear His punishment. So in this ayah, the word wasila is mentioned. So this is a doubt. Now what is the meaning of wasila in these ayat? The meaning of wasila in these ayat is righteous actions. Because wasila means a path to Allah. And what is your path to Allah? Your righteous actions. This is the meaning of wasila in these ayat. So when Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wabtagu ilayhi alwasila, O people of iman, have taqwa of Allah and seek a wasila to Him. Meaning, establish an avenue to Him, establish a path to Him, establish a relationship with Him through doing righteous actions, through at-tawheed. And also in the second ayah, when Allah said that the people of shirk, the people that they are invoking, either righteous people, they themselves have a wasila to Allah, meaning they themselves are doing righteous actions to Allah. They are worshipping Allah. They hope in the mercy of Allah. They fear the punishment of Allah. And the Mufassirun, they mention that this ayah, it referred to the angels. There were some people who were worshipping the angels, thinking that the angels are a wasila to Allah. Allah mentioned that these beings that you are worshipping, they themselves are worshipping me. So why are you worshipping them? They hope for my reward and they fear my punishment. And they are seeking a wasila to me through their righteous actions. So why are you committing shirk with them? So this is the first doubt. The second doubt, they will say that the kings of this world, you cannot go to them directly. The prime minister, the president, the king or the queen in this world, you cannot go to that person directly. You have to go through a wasila. There's channels, there's councils, there's hearings, there's ministers that you have to go through. And this is the only way that you can reach the king or you can reach the prime minister. Nobody can ever go to the prime minister directly. Or they'll say, for example, that you can't get to the roof immediately. You need a ladder. And you have to climb upon this ladder, i.e. this wasila, in order to get to the roof. And this is also incorrect. Because this person is comparing the king of the worlds, i.e. Allah, to the feeble kings and the ministers of this worldly life. So Allah, in His kingdom, He is perfect. Whereas the kings of the countries and the prime ministers, they are deficient in their authority. Also, Allah hears everything and He sees everything and He can respond to every person. Whereas the prime ministers and the kings and the presidents, their ability is limited. They can only listen to one or two people at one time and only in the language that they understand. And they can only fulfill the needs of the people using the help of other people. So when a person brings this doubt, he's equating Allah, who is perfect, to creation, who is weak. And this is called at-tamthil. Equating Malik al-Muluk, the king of the kings, to these feeble, weak kings and rulers upon the earth. You can't compare between them. Also, when a person says, well, you can't get to the roof straight away, you need a ladder. But this is because of your weakness. You as a human, you don't have the ability to jump onto a ceiling. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells you to make dua directly to Him without a wasila. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord said, worship me, invoke me, I will answer you. He didn't say that you have to go through a ladder or a wasila. And also, from the doubts of these people is, they say that the wasila that we are making, these are righteous people. And these righteous people, they have a great status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, because of these righteous people, Allah will forgive our sins in this dunya. And this is also incorrect. Because nobody has a right with Allah. The greatest of the greatest people has no right with upon Allah. Allah forgives whoever He wills, and Allah guides whoever He wills, and Allah punishes whoever He wills. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted and he sought forgiveness for Abu Talib, and Abu Talib was the closest person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet Allah decreed that this person dies upon disbelief. And then Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That you, O Muhammad, you do not guide whoever you love, but Allah guides whoever He wills. So nobody has a right upon Allah. Allah forgives the people's sins because of His own mercy. And therefore, to say this, that so-and-so has a great status with Allah, and therefore because of his status, your sins will be forgiven. No. In Islam, we don't have this. We have your own istighfar and your own righteous action, which brings you your forgiveness and it brings you your reward. And then there is a final doubt, and this is important in reality. And it is the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. And this hadith is mentioned by these people a lot. And this is that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, for a while it didn't rain. So Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa of the Muslims, he wanted to make Salat al-Istisqa, the prayer for rain, when you make dua to Allah and the rain is delivered. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to Al-Abbas. And Al-Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he sought from Al-Abbas to make dua for the rain to come down. And they say, look, this is wasila. And this is the biggest evidence which they have. They say, this is wasila. Because the Prophet, because Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to Al-Abbas. Why did he go to Al-Abbas? And in reality, the hadith is clear. This is an evidence against them and not an evidence for them. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Allahumma inna kunna natawassalu ilayka bi nabiyyika. O Allah, we used to seek a wasila to you through your prophet. Fatusqina, and therefore you send the rain down. Meaning, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive and we were without rain, we used to go to the Prophet and we say to him, O Prophet, make dua for us. And the Prophet would make dua to you and then you would send down the rain. He then said, وَإِنَّا نَتَوَسَّلُ إِلَيْكَ بِعَمِّ نَبِيِّكَ. And now that the Prophet has passed away, we seek an avenue to you, a wasila to you, through the uncle of the Prophet, i.e. Al-Abbas, فَسْقِنَا. So send rain down upon us. Then Umar said, فَقُمْ يَا عَبَّاسْ فَدْعُ. He said, O Abbas, stand and make dua for us. And the narration in the Bukhari is mentioned, فقام العباس, that Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he stood up, فدعا, and he made dua, فاستجاب الله دعاهم, and then Allah answered dua and the rain came down. Now, why is this an evidence against them? Because if wasila was permitted through a dead person, then how dare the companions leave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they're standing in Masjid Nabawi, i.e. the grave is there. Why did they leave his grave and go to a living person? Who is greater, the Prophet or his uncle? The Prophet is greater. So if wasila through the dead or through the righteous, through the prophets and the messenger and the awliya, if it was permitted, they would not bother going to Al-Abbas. They would go straight to the grave of the Prophet and say, O Prophet, you are our wasila, ask Allah to send the rain down upon us. But he didn't do so, he went to Al-Abbas. And one of the types of tawassul which is permitted is to ask a living righteous person to make dua for you. This is correct. So for example, you go to the Imam of the Masjid, you say, Ya Sheikh, make dua for me. Because he's a living righteous person. And inshallah, because of his station, in terms of the dua that he makes and the ibadat he makes, maybe Allah will accept his dua on your behalf. So this is permitted. The dua of a living righteous person, not a dead person. And what did Umar do? He went to a living person, i.e. Al-Abbas, and he said to him, make dua for us. So this is permitted. And if this was an evidence for making tawassul to the dead, then they would not leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were standing in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi at his grave. So this is the meaning of tawassul or wasila, and the types of shafa'ah which is permitted, and the types of shafa'ah which is not permitted, and an answer to some of the doubts of the people of Ash-Shirk. والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم